Well, good morning, Zion family. It's a real treat for me to call you family. So we have become members here, and so it's really special to be able to say good morning, family, this morning. This is Pentecost Sunday, a time that we remember and commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to turn this thing on at the same time that I'm talking, and it's, there we go. If the Holy Spirit would not have been brought to us as promised by Jesus, we wouldn't have the New Testament. We wouldn't be meeting here as people who are the people of God, infused and filled and blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I had this enjoyable exercise of contemplating these two statements of Jesus, one found in Matthew and another in Mark, where Jesus gives some, on the surface, apparently some contradictory messages. There's some tension between the invitation to lay down your burdens and take on his yoke that he says is easy. And then to hear him also say, if you want to be a disciple of mine, to take up my cross, to deny yourself. So the question is raised, is there conflict between these two commands? And it's a great question because we're actually seriously considering the words of Jesus and wrestling with these statements. Is there a contradiction between this easy yoke and cross-bearing, which certainly does not seem light or easy? What is Jesus getting at when he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and then proceeds to tell us to deny ourselves and take up our cross? And perhaps a beginning point would be to try to define what burden and cross might be or mean. Now, I've contemplated and thought through and prayed and worked and developed this message, but this is not the defining word. And I'll be preaching, and it may sound like I'm trying to convince you to see what my way, where I came out with, but that's part of what this whole business of being church is about, is gathering together around the scripture and discussing. And I happen to have the pulpit and can say how and where I came to where came to, and now it is to you then to decide for yourselves. I could be wrong. I've heard some folks say when talking about a cross that they bear in life is something that was a difficult thing that occurred or has occurred to them, some misfortune or something that won't go away, something that causes heartache or trouble for them, perhaps a misunderstanding, a betrayal, a false accusation that's dismaying to live with. And the cross that they're bearing and how they perceive it is seen as a burden. So let's see, let me get the first one here. Burden. For me, here's how I come at what a burden is. If you remember later in Matthew, it happens to be Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is very hard on the religious leaders and the chief priests and Pharisees and others that laid heavy burdens on people. Jesus said that they lay burdens on the backs of others and do not lift a finger to help. Jesus indicates here that burdens are something that are possibly placed upon us. Religious requirements, expectations can be experienced as heavy burdens. What burdens might you think you may be carrying that may keep you up at night, that cause worry or anxiety? Are they not often things that are out of our control, things that are placed upon us? So I've chosen to define burden as something that's not chosen, that has either been laid upon, placed upon, or happens to us, whether it's tragic or an accident or some natural disaster or something, or a disease or something that we don't have control of, is a burden that's placed upon us. It's experienced as oppressive and laborious. For me, that's how I'm going to be using this concept of burden. Now, a cross is something that is chosen, intentionally embraced. The cross that Jesus carried was not something that was laid upon him unwillingly. Yes, he wrestled with it. He asked his Father in the garden, "Does it have to be this way?" But Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down." So the cross of Christ was not an unfortunate tragedy that happened to him. Rather, the cross was chosen, embraced, and willingly, out of obedience, Jesus submitted to the will of his Father and was able to say, "Not my will, but yours be done." And he relinquished his control and his desire to the will of God. So for this morning, the way I'm defining burden is something that is sort of placed upon us, not in our control. And the cross, something that we willingly embrace and choose to take up. So in this sense, then, a burden is not a cross, and the cross is not a burden. But let me go back and get maybe to the root of all of this. And I want to introduce you to my 2-year-old granddaughter, Lila. She is, without a doubt, the cutest, sweetest, most adorable 2-year-old anyone will ever meet. Okay, you grandparents and parents, you will lay the same claim to your children, and I grant you that. But for me, this is the cutest, sweetest, most adorable 2-year-old that ever walked the planet. But already at 2, this is her mother, Alicia, our daughter. They live 8 hours away in Augusta, Georgia. But already at 2, Alicia is saying, "Lila has a mind of her own." And if you've had 2-year-olds, grandparents, parents, you know what I'm talking about. And one of Lila's favorite phrases is, "Lila, do it." Whether she's helping bake things or helping her dad make something, it's, "Lila, do it." Now, we want our children to become independent and competent, able to think for themselves and figure things out. That's not a bad thing. It's an important part of learning to cope with life, and it's necessary to develop critical thinking skills, to make decisions, to become independent as we grow into adulthood. This is a picture of Lila when she had someone say no to her. If she lived any closer than 8 hours away, she would be the most spoiled child on the planet as well. But when we choose to follow Jesus, and when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and as we grow and mature, both physically, socially, and psychologically as adults, and as followers of Jesus, we find that there is tension that develops between God's way and the call of Jesus and my way. "Lila, do it." We come up against these requests of Christ in our walk with him, and we're continually faced with the invitation to release control, to let go of worry. Remember Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, "Do not worry, do not fear, do not," all these "do not" things that I do. I don't know, I will speak for myself. I know how hard it is to lay down something that I use to manage and control and cope with life. It's not easy to yield. It's not easy to ask. It's not easy to acknowledge inadequacy and ineptness and the inability to manage my own life and to accept assistance. It's called pride. For me, that's manifested in a can-do attitude. "Ben, do it." Just like Lila. "I can do this. I got this. I can handle it. I will manage." Those type of statements. The Apostle Paul says that we are to develop and take on the mind of Christ. So it comes as no surprise then that Jesus' request to take my yoke upon you becomes challenging, because it asks of me to do those things that I most loathe, which is to give up control. Now, Jesus prayed for in John 17, and it was his desire that his disciples, his followers, would build communities where love was exhibited, and that they would build these communities of faith where they experienced and developed love for one another as they had experienced with Jesus. And so Jesus isn't calling us just to a life of sacrifice, take up my cross, take on my yoke. He's calling us to a life of meaning, even the kind of meaning that involves suffering. Because suffering for a redemptive reason doesn't feel all that sacrificial. Those of you who are parents with two-year-olds or younger, and you are being sleep deprived, and your whole schedule revolves around their schedule, you don't have control of it because you have to get up at night to take care of them or change diapers or whatever, that's a sacrifice. But I'm guessing you don't consider that a very difficult sacrifice. It's something you willingly choose to do because you are nurturing, caring, and building a young life and caring for that. And so the sacrifices you give don't feel like a sacrifice, even though you may complain about it, even though you may be grumpy, even though you may be sleepy, even though things don't quite go their way and they can't be comforted like you would wish they would. You may complain about all that, but you choose to willingly do that. Monica Rhodes and her sister Melissa are hiking the Appalachian Trail. And their goal and purpose is to complete a through hike of the AT. They're carrying some pretty big, bulky backpacks. But it happens to be something that is a necessity for them because it contains their shelter, their clothes, their food, their means of preparing and eating food. It's part of their survival. I suspect that they do not see or experience their backpacks as an oppressive burden. They may not like it, it may chaff, it may cause sore backs, it may be difficult, but I bet every morning they willingly pick them up and carry them because that's part of what they need for their survival. Viktor Frankl is a Jewish psychologist, well, was a Jewish, he's done a past, but he was a Jewish psychologist who survived a Nazi death camp. And out of his experiences in the concentration camp, he discovered that there were different ways that people responded to their difficulties and the things that were presented to them. And the basic thing that he discovered was those that had some meaning in life could find hope in the darkest places. And that meaning in life gave them love, courage, and a purpose to continue and to withstand all of the things, the horrors that they experienced. The cross of Christ gives meaning to our life. It is necessary for our well-being as a disciple of Jesus. I don't know if you know the author and writer Donald Miller, but in his book, Scary Close, he says that our faith teaches us that the path to join souls in love must of necessity involve a crucifixion. The path to join souls in love must of necessity involve a crucifixion, end quote. Any healthy relationship that we have, be it a marriage, be it family, be it friends, be it part of a church family, involves a dying to self. To experience that full intimacy and joy of that relationship. So for us to enjoy and to know intimacy with God involves a death. God in the person of Jesus died so that we might be able to have life and unfettered union with God. And Jesus invites us to that to experience that union by laying down what encumbers and burdens us. And so this entails a dying to our own sufficiency, our egos, our false selves that delude us into thinking that we can manage life on our own. And out of that dying, we choose to shoulder, to take on, to pick up the way of living that entails carrying a cross, the way of Christ. And this is a labor then born of love. And in that, we discover that the cross that we pick up is not a burden, but can be a joy. Consider the different places in the New Testament where, whether it's Peter or James or John that or the Apostle Paul that talk about rejoicing in sufferings. Paul says in Romans 5 that we rejoice in our sufferings because that produces endurance, and endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because of the love of God which has been poured into us by his Holy Spirit. These New Testament writers speak of seeing it as a privilege to take the cross of Christ, to identify with him. So the cross is something that is chosen, and it is a way of identifying with Jesus. In this passage in Mark, Jesus says, how can I affirm you to the Father if you haven't affirmed me? If you deny me, how can I not deny you to the Father? So it's a way of identifying, taking on, and being with the mind of Christ. So for me, there is not a conflict between these two statements of Jesus, but there is a conflict with these statements of Jesus for me. They are complementary. How can I take up the cross if I haven't laid down my burdens? It'll just seem like one more thing too much to carry. And consequently, how can I lay down my burdens if I haven't yoked myself with Christ and taken the cross? It all goes back to the garden, to the very beginning of humanity's distancing from God, choosing, I want my way rather than yours. Who's in control? Both of these statements, where they conflict with me, is that they ask me to trust. They ask me to trust in what I profess that I believe. See, believing's not the issue. We're told even demons believe. The issue is, do I trust what I profess? Am I willing to live what I say I believe? Because for each of us, there is a gap between my stated beliefs and my lived beliefs. And God is always interested in replacing our control with trust. So this gap, if you want to call it a hypocrisy gap, all of us have it. The only person who never had a gap between what they professed and what they lived was Jesus. So all of us have this gap. And throughout our life and walk with Jesus, the Holy Spirit is continually working with us to lessen this distance so that we can live more fully and trust more fully in what we say we believe. The self that Jesus then calls us to die to is this false self. This self that wants, that I want you to think that the gap that I have is smaller than it really is. The gap that is there that I try to put on so that you think I have it all together or have the answers or that I'm better than I am. Richard Rohr calls it the little or the small self. And I'm still confronted daily by this small or false self. It's a burden I would bear, I would say. If I have a burden to bear, it's this self that wants so badly to have you see and believe that I'm better than I am. It is hard work to hide my brokenness, my sins, and my hypocrisies. So Jesus says, my burden is easy and light. What is the burden that Jesus lays on us? Perhaps it's to trust, to believe that this yoke is as he says it is. Jesus says in Matthew 11, I am gentle and humble in heart. This is Jesus' own words defining himself. It's a window into the heart of Jesus by his own definition. My yoke is easy. Now, Jesus is not saying that life is free of hardship and pain, but easy here is translated, can be translated kind. In Ephesians 4:32, Paul writes, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That kind is the word kind is the same as is used here for easy. So the yoke of Jesus can be seen as a kind yoke. Now, a yoke, as you see here, is a heavy crossbar laid on the shoulders of oxen or cattle that have to drag heavy farm equipment through a field. So Jesus is using a kind of irony here, saying that the yoke that he asks his disciples to take upon themselves is a non-yoke, a yoke of kindness. It's like telling a drowning man, well, can you imagine someone who's at the deep end of a pool drowning, flailing around, barely keeping their head above the water, becoming exhausted and tired and about to drown, and you're standing there with a life preserver to throw to them, and they say, no, I've got enough trouble as it is. Why should I take on the added burden of a life preserver? How can we refuse? How can we not take up what Jesus says is kind, is easy? He doesn't say it won't be difficult to let go of, to control. But think about the things that you feel you may be drowning under or being exhausted by or just so tired of. And there's someone waiting to give a life preserver. How can we not say yes? So for me, there's no conflict between these two requests of Christ. They complement each other, and it requires trust to let go of my control and accept that of Christ. So what? What if we reimagined the cross and the yoke as life preservers? It just might revolutionize our lives. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know our minds. You know what it is that worries and dismays and causes exhaustion, and it feels so heavy and burdensome. And you offer us a life preserver and your yoke and to take up your cross. You don't lay them upon us. You ask us to choose that, trusting that your character is as you say it is, kind, gentle, humble. Father and God, help our unbelief. May we grow in an ability to risk trusting you, that you will do and be as you say you are. And I pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen.